And a good Wednesday morning to you. Welcome into In Focus here on News Radio KMAN. I'm Brandon Peoples, and education is the focus here today of our show. We've got USD 3D3 Manhattan Ogden Schools featured first, and then Manhattan Christian College later on this hour. Today we're speaking with Assistant Superintendent Eric Reed with USD 3D3 Manhattan Ogden Schools. Good morning.
Good morning, Brandon.
And we have Board Member Katrina Lewison joining us as well.
Good morning.
Glad to have you guys both in here, and we're going to talk a little bit about election season because, boy, that is just around the corner, the 1st of November. And Katrina has some information on some upcoming forums.
That's right. So it is election season, and I would encourage everyone to go out and vote. Oftentimes, I don't think that people recognize that the things that affect us most are local issues. And so one of the best ways that you can impact your community and your local situation is by going to vote. School board, city commission, county commission. So two forums that I want to highlight. There is the a forum on October 3rd, which is a Thursday at 6 p.m. And that's at the Manhattan Public Library. And that's hosted by the Riley County Republicans. The second forum is Sunday, October 6th at 1:30 p.m., and that is hosted by the League of Women Voters. And you can find more information on Facebook on both the League of Women Voters and the Riley County Republicans.
We have several candidates vying for a seat on the school board. Are you up for re-election as well?
I am not, no.
Okay. I don't remember how many spots we have open. Do you know?
Four open seats.
We have five people running for four spots.
That's correct.
Okay. I've seen the signs out town. They've started to pop up here as the election approaches. And the election is on November 5th.
Yeah, and that's all the rain that makes the signs pop up, I think.
The rain?
Yeah. Well, also a reminder, make sure you're registered. You know, September and October is the season to register for vote. You can't just wait around until November 1st and say, hey, I need to vote next week. We got to get everybody registered before then.
Yep. And if you want more information about registering to vote, you could go to ksvotes.org and register to vote right there.
Yeah, generally, I think you need to be registered 3 weeks before.
I believe so. Yeah, the deadline is coming up very, very soon.
Well, and especially with the school board elections, I feel like the forums are very helpful because a lot of people might not be aware of just, you know, how their tax dollars are spent and where money goes to.
Absolutely. I think that people forget that both the school district and the city and county commission, they're all taxing authorities. And mm-hmm. So one of the best ways that you know how your tax dollars are being spent within your local community is to go listen to these forums and find out what the issues are, what the candidates stand for. So as I went through the election cycle a couple years ago, I sure learned a lot in going through that, and I would encourage other community members to do so.
All right. Again, October 3rd, Manhattan Public Library, October 6th. Is the other one, where was that one going to be at?
I believe it's at the fire department.
That's where they had it last time,
yeah.
So, but
mm-hmm.
I'm not sure.
Okay.
No, well, the fire department on Kimball,
right.
And Denison.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, very good. Another big topic we've heard a lot about nationally here is the crackdown on vaping, and especially with young children. And this is something that's affecting you guys even here at Manhattan Ogden Schools.
Yeah, absolutely.
I wouldn't even say it's a crackdown yet. I think that right now it's just awareness. This has been in the news quite a bit because there have been several deaths related to vaping. And so it's absolutely an issue at Manhattan High School, just like it is nationally.
Yeah, and it's been an issue for a while. I think it's really coming out because of the prominence of it and, you know, the original perception that this is a safer version of cigarette smoke is not really proving out to be true. So we've been fighting this for quite a while, but now the national awareness is a little more important. So we're going to try to take that momentum and push it forward as well.
And I think the ask is for all parents who have middle schoolers or high schools to talk to your kids about it. Talk to them, ask them if they're aware of the dangers. Are they doing it? Have they tried it? And emphasize that it's not safe. And if any parents do want to know more about it, we are hosting some sessions about the topic of vaping. There is going to be a session in Rizak Auditorium at Manhattan High School on September 25th and 26th at 5 and 6:30 p.m. And for the middle schoolers, there is going to be one at 6:30 p.m. at Anthony Middle School on October 8th. So that's September 25th and 26th at 5 and 6 p.m. in Rizak, and October the 8th at 6:30 p.m. at Anthony Middle School. And that's information sessions. And they are hosted by RCPD, Ascension Via Christi, and 383.
Yeah, and you know, we just recently had that they think the first death related to vaping in Kansas. So it was an older individual here, but that kind of really put this back in the conversation, didn't it?
Absolutely, right. It's just some of these, the forms of vaping are unregulated, black market products, and students and parents should be aware of the dangers of it.
Mm-hmm. Well, and we had the superintendent on here a couple weeks ago. We talked about, you know, how these are hard to for teachers to spot because they're so small. They can easily be hidden in a backpack and if they are confiscated, what are the penalties?
It's similar to cigarettes, you know, any kind of tobacco products, we kind of treat it the same way. So it can, depending on your track record and history or how many times it is, I mean, it can be an in-school suspension, it can be an out-of-school suspension. It's a report to the police. There's a variety of things. We can also have drug and alcohol counseling as well, address that. So we generally arrange counseling for that if there's a disciplinary thing. But they are harder to find. You know, they marketers are good. You know, marketers are really good, and they're really good about hiding things, things that look like little flash drives, you know. And it's not uncommon for anybody to carry a flash drive. Everybody carries a flash drive back and forth from school, so I can plug into any computer and put my stuff, and they have devices that are actually functioning USB flash drives that are also vaping devices, too. And so they're a lot harder to find. They're a lot harder to, the smoke doesn't stick around as long as cigarette smoke does. You know, back in the good old days, I won't say good old days, but I've been fighting this for a long, long time. You know, you couldn't hide in a bathroom if you lit up a cigarette. And, you know, people knew, you could find out, you could see the smoke, you could smell it. It was pretty obvious. And this isn't as obvious. So it's a little tougher thing. So we need all hands on deck. I mean, we truly need all hands on deck to fight this battle. And as Katrina said, a lot of it was black market issues. Well, if they're 16 getting vaping devices, they're not getting that through legal measures. So that's something everybody should be aware of, because I've heard that, well, it's just a black market. You know, that's stuff that's coming in illegally. Well, anybody that's getting it in our schools is getting it probably in illegal ways. So I think our radar should be up huge on this topic.
For sure.
Well, and, you know, it's something that's addictive. And mm-hmm. we had the last month, the big drug bust in Manhattan with the fentanyl. A lot of people that are getting their heroin and fentanyl illegally, which it's an illegal drug, but sometimes it's laced with other things, and that could be also a problem here if they're getting these products, and who knows what they're putting into their bodies.
That's right. And I think that, once again, I just want to encourage all parents to talk to their kids about it, because mm-hmm. we know that with adolescents, you got to tell kids over and over and over again, and just try to open those lines of discussion, because they're adolescents. They're not going to want to talk to you about it. They're not going to want to be forthcoming. And frankly, I think that grown-ups, we don't know all of the answers to this either. So that's why it's worth it to have a discussion about it and talk to your kids.
All right. Moving on, talking about some other issues going on at the school district. I know there's been a couple cases already this year where some campuses had to go into secure campus mode.
Yeah, so I wanted to talk about some of the safety drills that we do, because I had quite a few constituents reach out to me. Every school has different weeks that they do safety drills, so it's a safety week. And the drills that we practice are your traditional fire drills, tornado drills. But then there's also secure campus, where we control the access to the schools if there's something suspicious going on outside. A lockdown drill, where you are secured in place, and then an evacuation drill, where you actually practice leaving the school and going to another secure location. And that could be because of a chemical leak, a fire within the building, something like this. Now, the reason that we do these safety drills is because real things happen. Last year, we actually had to evacuate Amanda Arnold, and because of some
chemical issue.
And that's right, in the kitchen. And already this year, as you pointed out, we've had to go into secure campus for a couple of times, and that was because of some suspicious activity or police activity going on outside the school.
Yeah, a lot of the time. And I'll compliment our partners on the fire department and also the police department as well. You know, if there's some legal action going on in our areas, they're very good about telling us and telling us, hey, you might want to go into secure campus. You might want to keep your kids off the playground until we have this thing settled up. or if there's something that happens to downtown. So I think last week, you know, we had the high school on secure campus for event that happened across the street, and it was getting close to ending time, but it's not something we wanted students to go through when you have ambulances and police all on those areas really close to your campus. That's not the time to put 1,500 kids out on the street. So we secured them in. Thankfully, they got cleared up before the end of the school day and everything went well. Buses rolled. But we also had three of our downtown schools, East Campus, TR Woodrow, on a secure campus as well. So we hope, we always hope that these are the biggest waste of time we do. But in the case of an actual event come up, I'm thankful that we do that, or the real event like the Amanda Arnold last year. You know, that's moving 600 plus kids, you know, several blocks. And if you don't practice that when you can control it, it's a lot harder to do when you don't have that option and you have to move people out. So practice makes perfect. That's one thing we try to put some practice time into. We try not to overdo it, but we also want to be prepared. So,
and I had some parents contact me and say that they just wanted to leave their kids out of school that week during safety week. And for the reasons that Eric just said about practicing, I would not encourage folks to pull their kids out of school, because kids need to practice those evacuation drills and fire drills, tornado drills, just like the teachers do. It prepares us on what to do in case of emergency.
Yeah, and Michelle does a good job changing up the drills too. So we try to throw some curveballs as well. So it's not just, you know, I can remember, you know, when I was a student doing fire drills, and I even remember my first years as principal or even a teacher, you can be very mindless. You know, the fire alarm goes up, and just like a robot, everybody gets up. You grab your grade book, you walk out, you count your kids, and you walk back in, and we kind of change it up a little bit. So we'll throw some things where you actually have to think instead of just being a robot and in and out and counting. I think we try to do a lot more than we ever used to, and I'm thankful for that, though it does take time and effort.
You know, one thing you can't account for is the adrenaline that's going to happen if you do have an emergency situation. So when you do throw stuff like that, I think it does kind of build it up a little bit.
And, you know, as a parent, I feel pretty happy about how things go, because when there was a tornado warning in Riley County, I knew, my kids knew what to do. They were with their teachers and administrators, and I didn't need to worry. I needed to go and secure myself in place where I was at.
We knew what to do with the buses. We pulled buses back in when that happened. We got them back inside the building so they weren't out on the road when that happened. And part of that, it's because we practice it.
That's right.
Yep. All right. Well, let's take a quick break. We'll come back more with USD 383 when we return on News Radio KMAN.